The book of Leviticus and the chapter 15. I draw your attention in this chapter, especially to the verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. Chapter 15 of Leviticus is the chapter of unclean issues, unclean discharges. In verse 2, the Lord introduces us to the man that has a running issue out of his flesh. It's a flow. It's something gushing out of his body. It's an unclean flow, and it shows that man to be unclean. He is unclean. And some of these issues are described in the verses following. This chapter, you know, does not make easy reading. Issues from the body are not talked about. They are not thought upon. It's all very embarrassing, very shameful. But God sees these issues that come out of us, just as we do. But he sees more than that. He sees other issues that these issues picture and portray. He sees other issues that sometimes we don't see and are blind to. There are things far worse than a hemorrhage. God knows that. And that is what he would teach us sinners. And that is what he is doing in Leviticus chapter 15. Just as discharges are shameful to us, so the flowing out of sin out of us is abhorrent and repugnant to God. If you study this chapter, you will see that examples of discharges are taken from men, and then there are examples taken from women. The fairer sex has discharges too. It affects both sexes. It affects all of humanity. The whole human race is fallen. All of mankind has issues. All have sin. And there is none righteous. No, not one. And we are not only with spot. We've talked about spots on other occasions, but there's not just the odd spot and blemish indicating leprosy. There's a run. There's a flowing. There's a gushing out. A running issue. A continual leaking of the foulness. And that shows that the fountain is continually vile. That reveals to us that the heart is wicked. Now, when you read this chapter, and if you are familiar with the Bible, there are certain passages of Scripture that come to mind. And that's good. When you read your Bible and the Lord brings another portion to mind, a parallel passage or some linked text, then you pursue that. You think about that. The Lord's drawing you out in meditation, so you pursue that. Pause and think on that link. The Holy Spirit, you see, is the author of the book, and he is a living, divine person in control of his sword, and he knows these twists and turns that he makes with Scripture, and we should allow Scripture to twist and turn and to work in us. And sometimes that requires us to go to parallel passages to turn the sword. And there are some portions of Scripture that certainly come to mind when you read this chapter. For example, in verse 25, we read of this woman. If a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, many days, an issue of blood in this woman, day after day, week after week, this woman. And whenever you read that, well, where does the Lord send you? We all think of that woman who had the issue of blood. And the Holy Spirit has created that link. Providence brought such a woman as is described in verse 25 of Leviticus 15, Providence brought such a woman to the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit dictated the story for us in Holy Scripture and has formed the link. So that is certainly one passage of Scripture that comes to mind. In fact, it is not just one passage, but three passages, for Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the story. How the writers put a certain twist in their accounts is interesting, but all introducing the story say the same thing. An issue of blood. 12 years. 12 long years. That's many days, as stated here in Leviticus. Many days. So many days that the days have become months, and so many months that they have become years. That issue in that woman could not be stopped. Physicians could not stop it. Money, and she once had plenty of it, that could not stop it. Willpower and resolve and human determination could not stop it. All the goodwill of family and friends could not cause the vile flow to cease. Death was for her soon to be the inevitable outcome. But one day, she heard of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know those famous words of that hymn, she only touched the hem of his garment, as to his side she stole, amid the crowd that gathered around him, and straightway she was whole. She came in fear and trembling before him. She knew her Lord had come. She felt his virtue heal her that moment. The mighty deed was done. And in that miracle, thrice recorded for our assurance, in that miracle there is revealed to us the cleanser and healer of mankind's issues. This is good news. Gospel preachers then rightly preach the gospel from that story. We know it pictures and portrays and tells far more than that Jesus can stop a hemorrhage. It tells us he can make the vilest and the foulest clean. Out of her came blood, a running issue out of Christ came virtue. Out of her came death and decay. Out of him, the resurrection and the life, came life and restoration. Out of her came uncleanness. Out of the Lord came the cleansing flow. She had a fountain of depravity, but the blessed Lord Jesus had a fountain of purity. Spotless purity. sin removing purity, death destroying purity, and his fountain met her fountain, and his fountain swallowed up her fountain. He was not defiled, and she was made clean. Jesus is the one you bring to this chapter of unclean discharges. Christ is a true fountain of purity, men and women, that swallows up all impurity. If sinners like this woman but come to him. Oh, come to him. Oh, that all men would follow in your tracks, you woman who had the issue of blood. That all men would see the serious nature of their issues as you did, and that they would fly to him. Yes, the Holy Spirit brings us to this gospel story to remind us there is hope for mankind. There is hope for depraved sinners. There is one who can deal with the discharge. I want you to know that, my fellow sinner, that the discharges of your life, there is one who can deal with them. It is the Lord Jesus. The problem is that mankind does not want to face up to the problem of unclean discharges. Mankind is in denial about its issues. Men seem blind to the nature of the discharges that come out of their heart. The woman at Capernaum knew her problem. She faced the reality of her uncleanness. She knew it was uncleanness. She knew it was serious. She did not ignore it. And finally, she brought it to the right person, Jesus Christ. But sinners, they see something of the discharge of sin, but they are not concerned. And they don't realize how serious it is, and they're not aware of what it means. That it shows a fallen, corrupt, depraved nature, that it manifests defilement and all that is abhorrent to God, that it leads to death and to damnation. That's the problem. Sinners do not seem to have the concern that they ought to have. This chapter teaches sinners that they should be concerned about their issues. Another portion of scripture that comes to mind, or I think ought to come to your mind when you read this chapter, it is that word of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels. I'm talking about Matthew 15 and Mark chapter 7. The Pharisees, who were always hounding Jesus, the Pharisees saw something they didn't like. They're blind spiritually. The Lord Jesus calls them blind, but that doesn't mean that they don't see. It just means that they don't see the truth, and they don't see themselves. They don't see their own hearts. That is the mark of the unconverted. They see. They see faults in others, but they don't see themselves. They don't see their hearts. And these Pharisees, the Bible says they saw. What did they see, these blind men? Well, the Holy Spirit tells us they saw some of the Lord's disciples eating bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands. And when they saw that, they found fault. That's the nature of their blindness. They found fault. Now, the Pharisees are not worried about hygiene. That's not what they're thinking about. They're not concerned about bacteria or viruses. They're concerned about defilement, about being unclean, about being ceremonially unclean. And there is this tradition among them. This is what you need to be a good person, to be right with God. There are these religious observances, and one of them is to wash your hands all the time. And there are some religions even today. And before they pray, they wash their hands. That's vital to them. A religion of the outward, they go through the ceremony, and you're kind of all right with God, you're all right to pray, if you've washed your hands. And so they think that this somehow stops the contamination within. This prevents the defilement getting in, and you're right with God, and you're right to pray. But you know, the Lord Jesus rebuked those fault finders who think that not washing hands indicates you are ungodly and defiled. And all the while, these fault finders have hearts far from God. They cannot see what is in their own hearts. They cannot see the discharge of self-righteousness and of malice and hatred. They cannot see the nastiness and the unloveliness of their own hearts. They can't see it. They're blind. Religious, but blind. Fault-finding, but not good. Scribes who handle the text of God's word, but cannot the discharge of their own hearts see. They can only see some dirt or defilement, or whatever you want to call it, on other people's hands. As if clean hands means a pure heart. The Lord, as you know, was much displeased with them, and he gave them a stinging, a very stinging rebuke. And well he might, because he could see the discharge of their hearts, which was far worse than the dirtiest of hands. You know what the Lord did? He called all the people together as part of this way of dealing with them and giving them a stinging rebuke. He got all the people together and he said, look, everyone listen to me and understand this. There is nothing. Do you hear that? There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. And if anybody has ears to hear, let him hear. That's what the Lord Jesus said. And there you have it. And you know, that's the Lord's commentary on Leviticus chapter 15. The things which come out of him, the running issues, they render the man unclean. He is thinking about Leviticus chapter 15, and especially our text today. But that's not the end of the story. Afterwards, whenever he was come into a house, his disciples talked with him, and they had seen the offended reaction of the Pharisees. And they said to the Lord, Lord, did you not know that the Pharisees were offended whenever they heard you saying that? And you know what he said? He answered and said unto them, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be pulled up. Let them alone. Isn't that interesting? Let them alone. Don't get tied up with them. Ignore them. Don't get drawn into it all with them. Let them alone. Let them go off as blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Let them alone. And that's good advice for us whenever we meet these kind of people. But Peter, he said unto him, Lord, just declare unto us that parable that you said. And he was talking about nothing from without a man entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. And Peter's looking more light on that. And the Lord Jesus just looks at them and says, Are you also without understanding? Do you not understand yet that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goes into the belly, it is cast out into the draught? But those things which come out of the man, they come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. See, the Lord's talking about these running issues. They're coming out. They're coming out of the man. Where are they coming from? They're coming from the heart. They show what the heart is like. And those are the things that render a man unclean. This unclean heart, spewing out this uncleanness. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. Now you'll notice that whenever the Lord is observing all of this uncleanness that gushes out of the heart, he focuses on the second table of the law. The duties in relation to fellow man. A man's attitude to his fellow men shows the depravity of his heart, even apart from the first table of the law. Do you see then the relevance of the Lord's words to what is said here in Leviticus chapter 15? The Lord is concerned about what is coming out. It is the discharge from the heart that is the problem. The coming out issues reveal the depravity and the darkness within. And that is what all this in the Old Testament is about. To draw our attention to our real need. To show us our sin. This is what is meant by the law being a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. The types and the shadows and the pictures and the ceremonies. They are primarily a schoolmaster bringing us to Christ. And those who go through these chapters and these books and talk all the time about hygiene and about this and that and the other, they're missing the point. God is teaching us spiritual things. He's teaching us about that which science cannot have an answer for, that which science cannot discover, that which science cannot provide a remedy for. And all man's learning and ingenuity can do nothing about this. Only Christ can. And so God's picture book to show us how much we need a Saviour. To reveal how much our hearts need the fountain that Christ has opened for sin and uncleanness. This is why the Lord, at the first meeting with Nicodemus, mildly rebuked him. Whenever the Lord spoke about the necessity of the new birth and of the need for the cleansing and for a new heart, Nicodemus did not seem to know what the Lord was talking about. He didn't know about the need for regeneration. How can a man be born when he is old? That's what that old man said. With all his knowledge of Scripture. It's no wonder the Lord Jesus answered him and said, are you a teacher in Israel? And you don't even know these things? You don't even know this? This is basic. You're a master. You're an instructor of Israel in righteousness. You have access to the Scriptures. You know the Scriptures. You expound the Scriptures. You open Leviticus chapter 15. and you don't know these things? And the Saul of Tarsus was like that too, wasn't he? But he discovered the spiritual meaning of the law one day. The commandment sunk down in, and he saw it. He was able to say, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. O wretched man that I am. He saw his humanity. He discovered his fallen nature. He saw the body with its corrupt discharges. He saw himself as one who was breathing out that corruption, breathing out slaughter, nothing good within. He also mercifully learned the remedy and the answer, for he went on to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is true of us all. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, the filthy rags here are clothes that you put on discharges. That's what they are. The kind of discharges that we read in Leviticus chapter 15. And that's what God says our righteousnesses are. That's what's coming out. That's what we think is good coming out. Our righteousnesses. That's not even good. It's selfish. We're selfish to the core. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Putrid discharges. This then is the sad and sorry state of mankind. And we might well ask, as the Bible asks, how then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? And the answer, men and women, is not to deny your sinfulness. The answer is not to remedy your sinfulness by self-effort. The answer is not to wait to see it more and more sinful, as if to say, I need to see my sin more. The answer is not to say, I need to be convicted more. I need to wait and more look upon that defilement to become more and more persuaded of its uncleanness. I need to look at the discharge and be more sad and mourn more. No, that is not the answer. The answer is to quickly arise and fly to Christ without delay. To once you see a discharge, once you know you are a sinner, to fly to Christ. That's the answer. Sinner, you do not have to know how great a sinner you are. You don't have to wait to see the discharge of murder and blasphemy and something terrible. Even the slightest, lightest discharge of foulness is enough. Enough to show you you are a sinner. Enough to show you the heart from which that comes, that it is depraved. Enough to show you you need a saviour from sin. Enough to drive you to Christ. Enough to make you follow in the path of that woman with the issue of blood. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee. This very hour. Don't wait. Don't delay. Now. This very hour. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come now then. Harden not your hearts, lest you blind your mind and become like the Pharisees. Come, every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. For it is written, whosoever believeth on him hath everlasting life. So come and believe and be cleansed.